All right, so this episode starts with an improv game. And honestly, that's kind of the point of the episode. Because today, we're doing something a little different. We're improv and we're vibing. And we're chatting with our video editor here on Talking Too Loud, Justin. Justin's coming from behind the scenes to talk about what we've learned building the show and what we've learned going from being just an audio podcast to being a video first show. We're getting transparent about what worked, what didn't, and how editing decisions like reactions, B-roll, text, pacing actually change the story of what we're putting into the market. So if you're adapting a podcast to video, you're thinking about YouTube at all, this one is for you.
This should be your bread and butter because you do improv, Justin.
I do. And you would think that this would be my bread and butter. But before every improv show, there is like this nervous energy inside of me that has me questioning like every decision I've ever made up until that moment. And then I get on stage and I'm like, oh, okay, this is what I'm meant to do. So we'll see if I'm also meant to be a podcast guest.
I think so, but we probably need suggestions from the crowd. So, all right. What can we get? What should we be doing?
Should you do one fun little improv game for us just so we can see if we're meant to be part of your world too?
Oh gosh.
Savage is going to love this. You love improv.
I think the two of you, have you ever done a mind meld before?
No, what's a mind meld?
So we'll count up to three, or we'll count down from three.
Yeah.
And then you guys both say one word. Okay. And between those two words, you try to come up with the word that's like kind of connects the two.
I know this game. Okay.
All right, cool. So
we go 3, 2, 1, word.
Word. And then
we're each going to say a different word. And then we'll try to then do 3, 2, 1 and try to get the same word.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Sounds great.
All right. Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1.
Syrup.
Porcupine.
Syrup. Right. Oh, and porcupine. I got it.
Okay.
All right. You ready, Savage?
Okay.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
Waffles.
Sticky.
Okay. And you can't say the same word twice. So
I said sticky. You said waffles.
Okay.
All right. Ready?
Wait.
Three.
Wait.
Oh, no. Oh.
I just go pure instinct.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Three,
okay.
Two, one.
Maple tree. Oh,
okay.
That counts.
We've got it.
Also, there's a song that you sing after you get a mind meld, and it's like it's literally we got a mind meld. So we got a mind meld.
We got a mind meld. Wow. I could play this game.
What a beginning.
I could play this game all day.
And that's honestly amazing. That was super quick. If you're in a room full of improvisers, like you can go for like an hour before actually getting the same.
I'm proud of us.
That was good.
That was pretty good.
That was great. I also think that's kind of the perfect way to kick off this episode because we did something that really only made sense on video in that moment. Here to talk about, yes, buckle up, friends. This is one of those meta ones. We're going to do it. We're going to talk about making a podcast, the promoting a podcast, building and evolving a podcast, turning it into a video podcast, doing it here with Wistia, and what we've learned along the way. And I think we should start maybe with a little bit of history on where did we begin? So
yeah,
Sylvie, you want to bring us to the beginning and kind of how you and Justin were working through that process?
Let me take you guys back down memory lane. Okay, but quickly, I'll do it quickly.
I believe in you.
And I'll do like a little woo transition.
Oh, yeah, I like that. Yeah, do a woo, please. Oh, I love having you. I love having you in the actual recording because now you know where all the beats have to be. Talking Too Loud started as an audio podcast during the pandemic. Video production kind of shut down. It was sad, but we met the moment where it was. Then pandemic evolves and video production can become a thing again. Wistia is a video company. So we were like, let's make this a video podcast. And there were some real learning curves. I think for me on the courage side, that's what I'll say. I was not used to being on camera. I love audio because it's voice only. And that's where I felt the most comfortable. However, I am also a big, I love seeing people's reactions. I love seeing laughter. I feel like joy is contagious. And so something that I think I learned pretty quickly right off the bat with video is that it could be really, really fun. Like, I know that doesn't
seem fun.
Yeah. That doesn't seem like a big, like, super insight, but like, all of a sudden, like, the giggling mattered, and like, wanting people to giggle mattered. Yeah, Chris, what about you? You seemed excited about video from the jump.
Of course. I mean, also, we had done like a higher production video podcast like thing before, and I could tell it had resonated, but also the production of it was so intense that it was like very hard to keep up. And so I remember when we started this, we said, okay, let's do at least 100 episodes and let's start in the simplest, easiest way to do it, which seemed like audio. And then it was remote video and it's been remote video most of the time. And so I also, at this point, I've been in this space for so long, I just know how emotional the medium is, and felt like this was a shift that was happening where people were more willing to watch this type of content, which has been also a shock to some respects, right? Like, if you think about how much it's changed and how we actually do want to watch video podcasts. So, Justin, I want to hear from you what the editing of video podcasts like this really, how it seems different from editing just audio. And like, what are the challenges and what are the things that have maybe not been challenges or been easier doing it this way?
Sure. Yeah. Challenges. I mean, Sylvie's a great producer. And clearly, yeah, tip your hat.
A bow.
There's like a lot more you can edit out in an audio episode, but for video, I can't really cut a lot of ums because then, you're getting jump cuts in the video and all that stuff. But what I do love about editing a video podcast is that there's so much like reaction that you can get just by cutting to, your and Sylvie's faces, like during, when a guest is speaking. So there's a lot more communicated in a video podcast than there is an audio podcast. And I think audio, I don't want to say it's boring, but for me, an audio podcast is just like, an audio podcast, like, I don't feel like I'm like in the room with you guys. Like, I don't feel like I'm part of the conversation, but with video, like, I could see your guys' reactions. It feels like we're all just friends hanging out. So that's why I like it.
Yeah. Let's talk about the reaction piece, because I think this is something that's really easy to miss if you're starting with audio only, like what that actually does for the story.
I have quick thoughts and then I can punt it to you, Justin. But I think kind of going back to that learning curve that shifting to a video podcast, I feel like what it does, kind of exactly what you were talking about, it brings in that like feeling of you being in the room. There's something that's like way more participatory almost as like a watcher when you're like seeing someone laugh, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But it also like strengthens points. So if somebody says something surprising and I have a surprised look on my face, I don't have to say any words. You can just cut to that like sort of awestruck look. Or Chris, if somebody says something to you that like you vehemently disagree with, like maybe your eyes get very big or you start gnashing your teeth like a monster. I don't know. But there are just, I guess there are more ways to communicate your feeling without having to say anything at all.
100%. And I really don't want to be that annoying improv guy, but it just happens naturally. But in an improv scene, sometimes a natural facial reaction to what your scene partner's saying gets way more laughs than a very witty joke. You know, like people want to relate to how you feel. And there's no better way to do that than visually.
Yeah, I think about it a little bit as if you were to overhear a conversation and it's like you were sitting next to a few people having a conversation at the next table and it seems kind of interesting, you look at them. A video podcast kind of like that. It's like you're sitting there, you're watching, And an audio podcast is like listening to a phone call. Mm-hmm. And it has to be dialed in on the phone call to like really get you to really hold your attention.
And to be clear, people can achieve that. Like,
oh, for sure. I'm not saying people can't. Yeah. Of course they can achieve it.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is like so, it has to be so dialed, like every word, the beats, the spacing, the sound quality, all the things, like where with a video podcast, if you can feel like you're watching the conversation, you're almost a part of it, you're right next to it, you get all this other information that makes it easier for it to be compelling.
100%. And I think, you know, you've talked about this on the podcast quite a bit, but this building of community, especially when it comes to business and like a podcast, like you want to create as much access to building a community as possible. And I think video is definitely a way to do that. And then creating social content from the video podcast, just it opens that door even wider.
Yeah, I think we should go into that actually, which is, you know, that did really change. That changed the podcast a lot, right? When we started making clips of the video version of the podcast and started to figure that out. And maybe we can just share a little bit of like what our process looks like today and then go back to like what did we learn from that?
For sure. So basically with long form content, it should come as no shock to people that distribution and repackaging are a big thing with long form content. So we started, we basically started like combing through full episodes, looking for moments, like 30 to 60 second moments that really stood out to us because there was a salient point that was made or because there was a big funny reaction or because there was a moment of tension. And we started to put those clips on TikTok and on Instagram and even on LinkedIn. And I think our process has evolved since the beginning, like where we were doing almost truly like straight clipping rather than like an edited clip. But that's where we started. And we actually got a lot of traction on TikTok early on. It still blows my mind, but we have almost 20K followers on TikTok. I'm not saying that to toot our own horn. I'm saying that because like, it shows the power of short form content and what people are hungry for. And again, adapting something that is long form into a short form clip because it's right for that channel.
Yeah, totally. I think for our social content, we went really hard animating for a while, and a lot of our time was devoted to creating these really wild animations where
they're
cutting.
So funny.
You know, I was rotoscoping heads and putting them on, you know, yeah, AI generated yeah. bodies. And it was really fun, but it took so much time. We would only get like one or two clips out of every episode. So we dialed that back and really thought about like, how can we make a bigger impact and cast a wider net? That's where I started to lean on AI a little more, where I would take a transcript, send it to Perplexity, ask it to analyze, Chris, your LinkedIn, and then using the transcript, generate content that it thought would perform well. And I would ask for 10 clips, knowing that we may get like one or two,
yeah.
and that Sylvie had some ideas for some. And we just went from there. And it was, you know, it's a rather easy process now.
That's yeah. great. I mean, I think it's interesting how differently, I mean, we've heard this, like in the Jay Klaus episode, we talked about the difference of like, he talks about every social media channel is a different sport. Mm-hmm. And like, you have to treat them as like, you want to get really, you know, you don't expect someone who's incredible at basketball to also be incredible at tennis or curling or something. And that we've seen that exact thing. Cause like the TikTok is a good example. I mean, I was looking at it yesterday. I don't look at it all the time, but there's like 220,000 views in the most recent video, 230,000 views in the one before that, 180,000, 160,000. And these are like 1 minute or 30-second, 45-second clips in the show. It's mind-boggling numbers. And then sometimes the exact same clip goes on Instagram and or YouTube Shorts and it can get like 500 views. And so I just find it so interesting of like this consistency piece and tweaking the clip to the channel clearly matters. And then how do you translate, you know, it's traditional marketing in a sense, like we grow the follower count, people see Talking Too Loud as a podcast on TikTok that they enjoy and think is really good. And then more of those people come back and they'll find specific episodes. And it is this thing that will keep on giving value. But I just find it interesting how different the same thing can perform.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great call out, like knowing that not all videos will perform the same way on different channels. And maybe if we had to do it differently, maybe if we were starting from scratch, I'd say let's knock one channel out of the park. Let's nail just one before we sort of foray into others. We didn't do that. And we learned I think essentially what we learned is what you just said, that not all clips are created equal. Not all channels are created equal. Sometimes we have to tailor the edit to the channel. Sometimes we have to tailor the topic to the channel, right? That works on LinkedIn is not necessarily going to work on TikTok.
Totally. I mean, that's what I was thinking too, because I used to post on all these different platforms and now really only post on LinkedIn for my own content that includes Talking Too Loud content. And that has worked really well because we've just focused there. And we keep, and you know, there'll be like a slight shift in the algorithm and you can feel it and notice it and then just like adapt to it in a way that's very hard if you're going across all these at once. But I think it can be kind of surprising if you're looking in from the outside, because you might be like, why is there so little engagement on this thing here and so much somewhere else? And it's like these tiny differences add up to make a really big difference.
It's so true. Justin, I want us to dig a little bit deeper into your editing philosophy, because I feel like this is where a lot of people are having trouble kind of making that transition to video. And essentially, I want to know, how do you decide when to add something? How do you decide what to add? That's kind of it.
Sure.
How do you do what you do?
Yeah. So until recently, I was editing every episode by hand. And now I'm using an app called, AutoCut, which claims to be AI. I don't know if it actually is, because I'm telling it, you know, which video track is which speaker. So it's matching up the audio, the audio waveform to the video. And it's really just reading the waveforms and saying okay, this person's speaking, we're going to show them. So that's my first pass. And that actually does a lot of the heavy lifting. And before we talked about using AI to edit these episodes, and I didn't do it because it would make mistakes often and have to go back and basically re-edit the whole episode, which ended up being more work. But now I can tell it to, how frequent I want cuts and all that stuff. So now I'm just watching the episodes, and any moments where it feels like a solid point has been made, I'll cut to a reaction from either one of you. Or if there's been a really good point made, but I'm struggling to comprehend it, I'll go throw text on screen, which I think, being able to read it and hear it at the same time really helps solidify the point that's being made.
Yeah.
Or I'll go and just find visual elements that help support what it is that they're talking about.
Yeah. And sometimes you and I will actually be in the transcript together being this was kind of a heady topic, how can we kind of elevate it to its broadest stroke, mm-hmm. high level concept? I mean, it's such a wild opportunity that I kind of took for granted, I guess I'll say, when we started video. I was like, how is this really a value add? And that's a huge value add when there is a complex idea that you can then elevate with text, or elevate with an animated graph or something, or give it some B-roll. It helps cement the idea, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, certainly. And Chris, a note from me, it really helps when you reference past Wistia video endeavors, because then I can just cut to that. And that allows me just to...
You mean the time we put on that parade for the pricing?
Oh, you mean this parade?
Yeah. Or that time we got shot off a confetti cannon inside the office. We were so excited.
God, I didn't know that happened, but I am very excited to go.
Or that time Brendan got like slimed over and over for that social media video.
Oh, God.
Or
oh
that
my
time
God.
Brendan got pied in the face.
Or that time that table got flipped for no reason other than to just flip the table.
That's an epic video and everyone should watch it.
But yeah, also, you know, when guests talk about ads that they liked or anything that they're doing.
Yeah, using the medium to its fullest, you're saying. Like, it makes a big difference to bring in the cutaways and show the other stuff and explain things that are conceptually might make sense in the context of the whole conversation, but if you're in that exact moment, might feel confusing, or if it was a clip, might feel confusing.
100%. And too, like, we're also, like, battling retention. I feel like that is something that folks in my industry are always battling because, you know, TikTok and Instagram socials just have like done a number on people's attention spans, where like now in the intro of the episode, we're adding a lot of visual beats and we're really working hard on tailoring that intro to entice people to watch the whole episode because we know how much value is there, but somebody who's just stumbled upon it may only be looking for background noise or something. It's getting them to actually want to engage with the content.
Yeah. So, and what would you say, you know, through all this exploration, I want to be really clear. We're still constantly testing and evolving and improving. Figuring shit out. But from what we've figured out so far, what would you list as the things like that we found that do increase retention that people should be doing when they're making a video podcast?
Well, specifically, this applies to YouTube, right? So like the first 30 seconds of your video has to hook. It has to hook a viewer, and that signals to YouTube's algorithm, people are interested. What else helps with that? Thumbnails. What else helps with that? Titles. And if your first 30 seconds, your thumbnail and your title can all work together as one, and really, you know, pique the viewer's interest, that can do huge things for your show. Something that we've seen in our own numbers is that our retention time doubled over the last year, which is like
on YouTube,
pretty wild. Again, we're not all the way there, but what it says to me is that some of the things that we've really been trying to focus on, like titles and thumbnails and those first 30 seconds, making them really visually engaging, they are contributing, right, to a longer watch time. So yeah, that would be my answer. Savage, anything you want to add about the beginning of stuff? Or
I would just say, yeah, I mean, I think it's been an interesting journey because we started by saying audio, and then our initial listeners came from the Wistia audience. So it was like telling them about it, putting it on the website. And if you looked at the analytics at the beginning, it was like a lot of consuming it on Wistia.com and not that much consuming it in the podcast apps. But now when you look at it, it's mostly consumed in the podcast apps by a long shot. And so it was like kind of jump-started things. And I think one thing I've found interesting with that is seeing that it's like a slow, steady rise. Like it has to be recommended to somebody. You have to have a great episode or a couple of great episodes in a row. And someone's like, aha, this is a good thing. And then since we've been doing the YouTube piece, it's been interesting to see that when we've had hits there, it's like kind of astonishing how much action you can get on something. And also like the 100% agree with you on the retention and these beats to hook people. We've also dialed in on like the topics and saying, let's try to make more clear what the topic is in the episode so that somebody comes in, they know what they're going to get when they actually click that thumbnail of like, I should probably be delivered this thing in the content.
Yeah. Like kind of in a weird way, it makes you, video makes you flex your storytelling muscles, right? Like, cause now we're having to think about what's the story that we tell in 10 seconds. What's the story that we tell in 30 seconds? What's the story we tell with just one image with three words on it?
Yeah.
I think there are people out there who are like, who feel perhaps that video dilutes something about story. And I would argue that it actually does the opposite. It sharpens story. And again, it's not the only way to do story, but it definitely is an exercise in like brevity, concision, all this stuff that's actually really fundamental to storytelling.
Yeah. Yeah. Your thumbnail, your title, and your first 30 seconds have to ask a question and promise that in the episode, you're going to answer it. And it, in doing that, instills confidence in the audience that they're going to learn something, and then not only learn something, they're going to learn something that like impacts their day to day or their work, you know, in that way.
I also think the other thing in terms of retaining someone once they're there, that you shouldn't underestimate the visual changes on who's talking and reactions that we were talking about before can have a tremendous impact, because it's showing the viewer like that this content is valuable. Like a lot of this is like a signal. Like, am I just watching a thing that no one edited? Am I watching a thing that was edited heavily? How important is this thing? Like when I think about all the animation stuff that we did, my gut on why that worked so well is it took a lot of work, but you could kind of implicitly understand that. So if you came across a clip with an animation explaining something, well, the thing that's being explained must be important because someone thought to, and it's like a subconscious reaction that I think also happens when you have these video podcasts that do have like lots of angles and are cutting between them. It's like, oh, this is important because this conversation was captured. But ultimately, it's just getting you closer to that table of sitting next to someone else having a conversation, and you get to choose where you look, you know, and instead we're choosing for them. But it's very, I don't know, I find that part really interesting. And we have this internal show at Wistia that we do once a week that's called The Playback. And it's basically like what's happening across the company this week, what worked, what didn't, what are the new things we launched, like customer wins, stuff like that. And I was watching back the one we recorded for this week this morning, and the first 3 minutes of it I thought were actually like really funny, and they're chaotic, but we didn't cut between the three of us or on camera. And I felt like, after what we've done with talking about it, the feeling I had was if we were to cut between this, the pacing, you wouldn't even notice the first 3 minutes. But because we're not, you are noticing it. Mm-hmm. And it was like an interesting juxtaposition from like what we've done here to this internal thing.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, this could, if this leveled up a little bit, it would really help people because that it would really pull them in that first few minutes.
Like you wanted the playback to have Justin edit.
And I wanted it to go between.
Yeah.
You know, we're like surprised some other people in a meeting, and then like there's like funny reactions happening to this. And like you can create the story in your mind by looking at the different boxes that people are in.
Yeah.
But it's a lot easier if someone says, no, look, Brendan's laughing. Oh, and then Carrie made a joke, and then I laughed, and then I made a joke. Like it's helping you, it's making it easier.
For sure. And one of the things like that I love about comedy is the rhythm of it. And what editing this video podcast enables me to do is, you know, give a little bit of time if we need to a pause to help like land a joke or immediately get your reaction to see like, okay, Savage is really having a good time here. Therefore, this is good. And I like, you know, I want to be part of in this room, really.
I really want a sound effects board. That's all I want to be able to be like, you know,
it doesn't seem very hard to do.
It's very easy.
Or like, I want to be able to be like, oh,
whoa.
I could figure out how to do that.
I'm going off the rails.
But you know, you bring up a good point, Savage. So, I don't know if you watch Nessun at all, but for Bruins games, if you
mean New England Sports Network,
the New England Sports Network. Oh, yeah, you're familiar.
I was like, what the fuck is Nessun?
Sorry, for the layman, yes, the New England Sports Network. So for Bruins games, I don't know if this is all sports, but for Bruins games, you can watch Nessun 360, which gives you access to all of the cameras. And you can select which camera you want to be watching the game with. And that is such an interesting opportunity that I only think you can really do with sports, because everything else is like tailored to the audience. But maybe that's the future of podcasting, where you can select which camera you want to watch. And maybe people just want to watch Savage for his reactions.
A smash cut of all your laughs is it's coming.
Well, I sent you yesterday. So,
I know, the joyful. Yeah. Yes, yesterday, for those listening, watching, Savage sent me what we're calling a remix inside Wistia, which basically you can select several videos and you can say, find all the moments of laughter in these videos, or just one video.
It's an agentic editor, basically, but it's in beta. We're trying to figure this thing out. And so I'm constantly pushing it to try different things. And I was like, I think there's a lot of laughing in this episode. So I said, make a 60-second thing that only has laughter. And it's complete chaos. But it was fun to watch.
But I found myself laughing, because laughter is contagious. And anybody who says it's not, I don't trust. I don't 100%. Trust them.
Can we cut to that video right now?
You sure. can.
Let's do it. Wow, so we're excited to have you. Great conference, though.
And we're back. Wow. That
wow.
was funny.
Well, you said the magic word, though, Justin, because
I think I need Justin on every episode, even in the background while recording, because
I know
otherwise all the time. So it's like, that's all I want is just, and cut to this, and cut to this.
cutaway king. You said the magic word, which is future. And I feel like we are at that point in the episode where we can talk about the future, muse about the future. What is exciting to you about the future of video editing?
Nothing.
Literally nothing.
No, I kid. It seems the AI is getting better. And with that, I and every other video editor out there has more time to devote to really polishing episodes, polishing video content as a whole. And Savage, earlier you were talking about, we were talking about the intros and everything like that. I think production value creates a lot of trust and confidence from an audience perspective. I want to shout out Wistia's hit web series called Fix My Setup that really... Anyone who's looking to start, cut to that. B-roll is playing while I'm talking. You're perfect. Seeing Steve Petto. He is the face of Fix My Setup.
He paints with light.
He loves playing with light. This is like your ultimate guide to create an in-home setup for either web calls or podcasts that should fit your budget.
Very nice plug there, Justin. Very nice. But
I think it's I think it's interesting the other piece you said, which is like polish creates trust, which I think we all agree with. And then some of these tools are starting to deliver. And it's like, does that mean that we stop what we're doing? No. Like, I think the instinct is exactly right, which is like, no, we're actually going to level this up. And that's like very exciting, because I think all of us who can embrace this and figure out how to use these things properly, we're going to make better stuff in the same amount of time. And that is exciting.
Yeah. I think one curveball I'll throw into the polish chat is that too much polish can have the adverse effect, right?
You mean like if there was lower thirds flying underneath all of us right now and sparkling lights and stuff like that?
Too much. That's
I love this. You're giving me so much work to do.
He's like, this video took me 10 more hours than usual.
The lower third is Justin has more work to do.
That's right. That just stays flashing for the rest of the time.
There was a story I heard recently about one battle after another, that car chase scene.
Of course.
Yeah. Epic.
No spoilers, though.
Okay. Well, they filmed...
You know that car chase scene in that movie? Remember when that thing happens and the other thing happens? That is so exciting.
It's so exciting. They filmed...
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
They filmed that in a very specific way, right?
Yes.
Like, and when the scene was done, it looked too perfect. They nailed it so well that the director said, no one's going to believe that we filmed this. So they ended up rigging something to make the camera look more shaky during that chase scene, to make it look less polished. Gonna hammer that point home and keep gesticulating with my hands. But yeah, too much polish, I think, can be a disadvantage. And I think, like, for those folks who are just starting out and who are like, oh my God, I have to have this high production value. No, you don't. Not from the jump. Like, that's something you graduate into. That's something you learn how to do.
And polish doesn't mean that it's not authentic. That's the other thing. I think, like, we can be talking and not speak perfectly, but get the right idea out there, but do it in a way where the actual production feels elevated. And you can have both things. You can show that it's important and it can be authentic. And not saying the only way to make something authentic is to be imperfect, but that's a pretty easy, obvious one for how to do it. But I think that because that's also going to be true, right? Like, the quality is going to go up, but we're going to be more aware of, does the person who's talking about this thing actually have the credibility to talk about it? Is there advice, something I should follow? Does it seem like they really believe what they're saying? Has it been like hard won? Is there something about this that shows me that it's real? Because that's the other piece of all of this that's happening at the same time. So I think you're right on. Like, polish is not the only answer, but it is an answer for how we're going to put like a similar amount of effort and get something even better out. And I do look at this as I look at it as like a little bit of a race, in the sense of like, the faster you do it, of course I look at it this way, but the faster you do it and establish yourself there, that is one of the advantages in all of this.
Any step above two guys in a room holding an iPhone, using that as the mic and passing it back and forth is a good place to start. Yeah. I was asked to be a guest on Use two iPhones, please. I was asked to be a guest on a podcast, an improv podcast, and it was two dudes in a truck with a phone on the middle console. And they were like, all right, we're ready to go. And I was like, oh no, what have I gotten myself into?
How'd it turn out?
Bad. Yeah. I was good though. I was great.
I was incredible.
Dang. I think we covered all the bases.
Shall we finish with another improv note?
Oh, I like that. Bookend.
Well, you guys never asked me what has me talking too loud.
Oh my freaking God.
Okay, we've made an error. All right.
We've made a grave mistake.
Here we go. Justin, what has you talking too loud?
just so you guys know, I'm not putting this at the front. I'm going to keep it where it is.
Keep it in the back.
That's right.
All right, cool. So what has me talking too loud is the spiritual and musical connection between Jerry Garcia and Brent Midlin during the Grateful Dead's 1989 Spring and Summer Tour.
So specific. Okay, for non-Deadheads, break down.
What did you just say? Yeah.
Who they are, what that tour was about.
That's been a bit in my back pocket for too long. It was like really just burning a hole there. But honestly, so Jerry Garcia, incredible guitarist, Brent Midlin, incredible pianist. That's actually when they first started recording their concerts using video too. They're known for recording all of their shows, literally all of their shows, and putting them out for free. Audibly, but they started doing video, and then you could actually see the reaction between Brent and Jerry as they were trading off solos, and it's like actually really magical. I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. It's like,
do we cut to it?
What if you just recreate it, Justin?
Oh my God.
You just act just as both.
You can't do it. This is too, like, it's just, too far.
You can't mimic that magic.
Well, look, Justin, thank you for coming on this episode. I know it's not you improv day in the evenings and on the weekends, not normally during the day. So we appreciate you coming from behind the camera and joining us here.
Oh, it was a pleasure to join you guys. This is actually really fun. We should do it again.
See?
We'll do it again for sure.
Right. See?
Good job, Sylvie.
No, not that's. I wasn't fishing for that. I was just. You got nervous. You were nervous.
I did,
and I was like, I swear this is going to be fun for you.
Sylvie called me yesterday and was like, hey, a guest canceled. We need you. We want you on as a backup. And I was like, immediately I forgot like everything I ever knew.
He was like,
about
do you
video.
Think you can come on with me?
I was like, please let Steve come on. Steve knows more than I do.
To which I said nothing. I said nothing. And I was like, I'm going to let him just.
Good.
Crank on that
good,
for
good
a minute.
Good job, everybody. Yeah. We really did it.
Okay.
Proud of you guys. Keep up the good work.
Oh, you too.
You too.
Thanks so much. Okay.
All right.